You know, this is a day that we have set aside in this meeting to seek the Lord for needs that we have, answers that we need in our life, to spend some special time seeking the Lord. And you know, there, when we follow the way of God, the Christian cannot lose. He's a winner. Either way. You know, when we explain this to the world, they'll say, wait a minute, you can't lose. because if he heals me here, or if he takes me there, I cannot lose. So I'm thankful that we don't have to put God in a box. I'm thankful that we can say, Lord, I cannot see in the next minute. I cannot see into tomorrow. And he tells us, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I can tell him anything I want. I can look at it from my limited vision, and I feel like this is the very best way for it to go. And I can go to the Lord with that and tell him, Lord, I would like for you to do it this way. Paul did it. Paul had some kind of an affliction, something, a thorn in the flesh. And he took a look at it and did exactly what I would do. Went to the Lord and sought him to take it away. God gives us that privilege to do it. And I am so thankful for it. And how many times every one of us could stand up and testify today to when we have come to the Lord with a need that we had, and he answered that request just like what we asked him. affliction is not only a sickness in the body. It can be just trouble in my life. And I'm coming to the Lord and telling him, I need you. I would like for you to take this problem away. We have... Many times there's unspoken requests. Some that are too serious to even mention. But God sees them. And he cares about them. And you know what? The faith that I want to have is a faith to believe that, you know what? God loves me as a dear child. And he wants the very best for me in my life. What will be the very best? That he not be willing that any would perish, but that everyone would be able to have eternal life. That I would be able to, at the end of my life, step over into heaven. That's his desire. And you know what? Today, I would like for that to be my desire. When the troubles come into my life, and I have a direction that I would like for them to go, I have the privilege to tell him that. But I also want to have the faith to believe that he knows what's best. So today I would like to balance that, because it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you know what? When I learn to pray, it's going to avail very much. So I would like to look at something today. Desire your prayers. The disciples... In the 11th chapter of Luke, because this morning I'm interested in knowing how to embrace God's will for my life, even when I do not see what it is, ready to embrace what he allows to come into my life. Because Paul, when he asked the Lord three times to take away the trouble that was in his life, and the answer that he got was, my grace is sufficient for you. And the problem did not go away. You know, those are the times where we hear about, I'm a winner either way. It's only with what I do with those times. Paul would not have been a winner if he would have said, that's it. For all the things I've gone through and suffered for you, Lord, and you're not going to take this problem away. But instead, we see that Paul climbed up on top of it And he was a victor, even though the Lord didn't take away the problem he had. So I'm looking at a verse in the 11th chapter of Luke. In the very first verse, came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And I have looked at that in the past and thought, you know, that's pretty elementary. I know how to pray. In fact, when I pray, a lot of the things are, Lord, give me this. Help me with this. And they are asking him, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And that's my desire this morning, is when the troubles come into my life, Lord, teach me really how to pray. How to be able to reach you on your throne and come away from that meeting with God on top of the trouble and not down underneath it. So he began it. When you pray, start it out this way. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many prayers were made in the Bible that started out just that way? Lord, we're in a desperate situation right here. One of them that I think about was Jehoshaphat. It's 2 Chronicles 20, where they give him a word, there's a great multitude coming against you. And Jehoshaphat did the very same thing that I would do. It said he feared. He was afraid of what the future held. But then the next thing he did is what's important. The next thing he did was he feared, and then he set himself to seek the Lord. And one of the things in his prayer that I noticed, the beginning of his prayer was telling God how great God was. The many things that God had done in the past, you know, God really didn't need to be reminded of that. God knew what he had done in the past. But what it was a reminder for Jehoshaphat to be able to review them in his own mind as he prayed, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you are well able. I remember all the times you have helped in the past, and you are well able to do it again for me. When Syria was coming up against him, and they said, All these other gods of the countries, we have wiped them out one at a time, and now we're at your door. Don't let Hezekiah make you believe that your God will be able to do any different than those. Don't let Hezekiah tell you that God's going to do something special for you. I loved what Hezekiah did. When the letter came to him, you know, sometimes we can take things personal. It's my problem that I'm facing here. Hezekiah didn't do that. Hezekiah took that letter, spread it out before the Lord, because really that mail belonged to the Lord anyhow. And when he began his prayer, he started it out with how great God was, and then came to the place where, Lord, take a look at this now. What they're saying they're going to do. And God delivered them also. So I was looking at this. The next part that comes after me acknowledging how great God is, and there is no problem that he cannot take care of in my life or in anyone else's, is thy kingdom come. Here's the next thing I want to have happen. The next thing that is most important to me, Lord, I want your will to be done. As in heaven, so in earth. You know, we have really come to a place when I can, from my heart, be able to believe that. Lord, what I really want done is your will down here. Because we have places in the Bible that tells us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. That is a promise in the Bible. Whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it'll be done for him. That's a promise. How can I guarantee victory in my life? It's praying this prayer. thy will be done down here on earth. You know what? That's not defeat. That is ultimate victory then. Jesus had to come to it himself because he had a direction he wanted life to go. You know, when Jesus had come down from heaven, it said he was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. I believe he was not surprised by the things that happened to him when he came down to the earth, the rejections that it came to him, knowing that one day I will be sacrificed on the cross. I believe he knew it was coming. But as it came up real close, he had a desire. Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way, would you remove this cup? You know what? That's what we seek in all of the troubles in our life. Lord, would you remove this trouble I'm faced with today? But to be able to have the victory that Paul had at the end of it, I'm going to have to pray this prayer. Lord, I want your will to be done down here, just like it was in heaven. For Jesus to have victory through what he went through, he had to pray this same prayer. Father, here's what I would like. If it's possible at all, would you remove this cup? If this plan of salvation could come any other way, I would appreciate it if you would take it that way. Because you know what he said? He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That means he didn't enjoy suffering any more than we enjoy suffering. And he asked the Father, if possible, would you take it away? But then he closed it out with, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, there's a danger for me, since I cannot see into tomorrow. The children of Israel ran into this problem when they had needs in their life. And they came to the Lord, we want to change in our condition. We're tired of this manna. We want some meat. And it says he gave them their request. That would be wonderful. I would leave out of there thanking God you answered the prayer. But you know what? God had a plan for the children of Israel. It says he went ahead because of their calling on him in one direction. He gave them their request. But he sent leanness. You know, there can be times that I could tell the Lord over and over, I want it to go this way. I want this done in my life. And praise him when it comes to pass. And never realize that it could be to my detriment. Because God sees way out into the future. He sees that one day, I'm going to step out of here into eternity. And he wants me to be ready. So he wants to send some things into my life. Folks, our lives are improved a lot of times by the suffering we go through. Not just sickness with the flu, but troubles that come into my life. If I will let them, they will draw me closer to the Lord. Or I can have it made up in my mind, God has got to do it this way. And should he do it that way, I will rejoice and praise him for it, never realizing that it could be bringing leanness to my soul. We sing a verse of a song, had I the choosing of my pathway. And you know what? I believe that's to the best Christian. The one has all devoted to the Lord. Is still the same. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. I'd wander far away in darkness, and I'd miss that land of endless day. So my desire is, Lord, when I bring my request to you, check them out against tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and give me what you see would be best. There is a verse in Psalms 84. 84 and 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I love that verse. And I would like to take that verse and stamp it to every problem that comes my way. The Lord wants good to come into my life. But then I search the scriptures some more and I find another verse. It's in Psalms 119. 119 and 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now wait a minute. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And I take that verse and I love it because he's going to send a bunch of good things in my life. And then he tells me, hey, I just want to remind you, one of those good things is affliction. I'm going to send good things in your life. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. I was thinking of the song that says, have thine own way, Lord. You know, it's one thing for me to sing it. It's another thing for it to be down in my heart. As I bring him my request, that down inside my heart, at the depths of my heart, where my desires come from, I could say this song. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am weighted, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over. Have over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only. Is that my desire? Lord, I want there to be Christ only, always living in me. You know, modern day Christianity will tell you to make a decision for Christ. You know what the Bible says? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I read recently a story, Hinds Feet on High Places, where this little girl, much afraid, had a desire to go to the high places, the mountains. And the shepherd said, I'll take you there. And they started out together. And then he said, I won't be able to continue with you, but I'm going to give you a couple companions to go with you. And they were not pleasant looking companions. She didn't want to go with them. Those two companions were sorrow and suffering. And she had expected to go to the high places. And the shepherd told her, follow them and they will take you there. So she submitted her will, like this says, you're the potter, I'm the clay. She came to a place where she submitted her will to that and said, okay, I will let them lead me. And when the shepherd left, they turned from where you could see the mountain and headed with her out into the desert. And she said, no, this is not the direction here. And the shepherd had told her, at any time you have a question, you call my name and I'll be back. And she did. And he came back. He said, in this, you will need to trust me because this is the way to the high places. She submitted to that, went out into the desert, trusting. So this will lead me to the high places. Said she went into a place where there were maybe some huts in a little village-like, and said there was a tank with a little pipe that fed water into those huts. nothing living around there as far as vegetation. But she said she looked, and there was a tiny little hole in that pipe, and it was dripping on the desert floor. And where it dripped was a beautiful flower that had sprung up. And when she asked the name of that flower, said, "This flower is acceptance with joy to those things that God sends into my life that I would like to have different." God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, trust him. Submit thyself into his hands. Joseph did that in his life. Joseph had a lot of problems come in his life. And I believe if you would have asked him at any one of those, he would have desired that that problem go away. 13 years of his life, we could say was wasted. God would not say it was wasted. God was developing Joseph to come to a place where he really needed him to be. And I believe the only way that Joseph could really do it was to go through these places of suffering and to be able to go through them in the right way. To where when he was done wrong, you know, we have memory that we have to deal with. And you know what? He had a lot of time on his hands to work with memory. And it doesn't tell us much about what he did with it until he met his brothers again. And then we find what he did with his memory. Memory can cause us to be eaten up with bitterness. He could have been that. But we see him at the end of it all. He's now in the position of power. His brothers are needing mercy. And Joseph is in the right place. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It wasn't you that sent me through these things. It was God, because he had a purpose for me." You know what? If I can go through my troubles that way, because Joseph never saw up in the middle of those things that there would come an end to it. I believe he had a glimmer of hope when the one man went back from the prison to Pharaoh and Joseph asked him, "Would you please tell him about me? Maybe I'd be able to get out." And then years pass and he realizes he's forgotten me. But in all of that, he committed it into God's hands. Another picture is Job. When in one day he lost all of his temporal possessions, Satan had figured it out that all he needed to do was lose those temporal possessions and he would curse God to his face. But instead, when his earthly possessions were gone, Job fell on his face and he worshiped. And he said, "I didn't have anything when I came into this world and I won't have anything when I go out. The Lord gave." What a way to look at the troubles that I go through. The Lord has given this problem I'm faced with. And if I will go through it in the right way, I'll come out on the other side with victory. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what? It wasn't the next day that God gave all those things back to him. It was 42 chapters later. Some life had to be lived with nothing. And then Satan took a look at it and came back to the Lord and said, "Yea, skin for skin. All that a man hath, he'll give it for his life." And God said, "You can touch him, but do not take his life." Folks, there's an assurance for us that have a desire to live for God. Satan has some power. Satan can send some trouble. But God has his hand on the burner. There is only so far that trouble can go. There's another verse in Psalm 66 and 10. You know, when I can come to the place that I do what this verse does, it'll be great value to me. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Lord, it's you that brought us into the net. Lord, it's you that laid affliction on our loins. Lord, it's you. It wasn't even the men that rode over my head. Lord, it's you that caused them to ride over my head. We went through fire and through water. But Lord, it also was you that brought us out into a wealthy place with victory at the end of it. You know, with the picture of the potter and the clay, it teaches me something about humility. Who I am compared to the potter. I was made out of dust. Dust thou art, and back to dust I'm going to return. In that example in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, the potter was doing a work on the wheel, and it said the vessel marred in his hands. That can happen naturally, and it may be the potter's fault. It cannot happen spiritually and be the potter's fault if I will yield myself to him. But the consolation I have is there have been times in my life when I marred in his hands. It was because of me and not because of him. But you know what? With us, he's not willing that any would perish. So said he took the clay. And he made another vessel. That's what he wants to do to every one of us. Folks, there's going to be times that I feel like, Lord, this is the way that things should go. And I push it until it goes that way. And then I find that I mar in the potter's hands. There's a verse in Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. All of it has a purpose of working for good in my life. It may not be all good when you dissect it, each one by itself. I may not call it good, but if I can have the assurance that, Lord, if I allow you to put everything, all the ingredients in my life that are needed, and I will yield myself to it, Lord, I'm guaranteed to make heaven my home. All I've got to do is yield to your purpose in my life. Many of you here will remember a few years ago, Sister Ima Jean Taylor. She loved to witness to people she came in contact with. And then she started losing her eyesight. You know what? Your world starts closing down if you're blind. And so she took a prayer to God. You know what? It wasn't a selfish prayer. She said, Lord, if you will restore my eyesight, it will help me to be able to better witness for you. Well, you think there's no way a person will go on and be blind then. She testified here saying, the response that the Lord gave her, I've got you right where I want you. Now, you know, if I'm not careful, I will look at that like a cat and a mouse. I'm going to play with you with troubles, not her. She realized, Lord, I don't see it. It seemed like I could do better if I had my eyesight. But I submit to you. And now she's blind. Cannot see at all. But then she sees God's purpose being worked out. Because there's something that happens in America today, and I'm thankful that we have this benefit. When people get old and they need help, there's something called home health care. And people started coming into her home, and they can't leave until they have done the work that they were sent there to do. And she finds out, she testified to us, I have a captive audience. I don't have to go out seeking them. The Lord sent them to my house. And I can testify to them till they get finished and leave my house. Yielding myself to God when I do not see what the future holds. As I was looking at her life, I thought about a game that we used to play as children. It was croquet. You remember it? The hoops that would be put in different places in the yard. There's a pattern that you've got to go through to be if you want to win the game. This is the first one. Maybe over here is the second one, the other one over here. You've got to go through them in order to be able to win at the last. Sister Imogen went through them in order. You know, because the ideal part of that game is for me to go through them in a way that the ball is right in front of the last hoop to where it just takes a little tap and I've won. But you know, there's been times when I would play that game and I'm needing to go from here over here and I still got some more to go to that I decide I'm going to try to take it through this one in one hit and it goes out in the field somewhere and I've got to work it back again. Folks, I want to tell you something. What we heard last night, winter's coming. The winter of my life. It'll do no good to go out and plant vegetables when winter has come. I have a window of opportunity that opens and then it closes. There is a window of opportunity for me to make heaven my home. And it is that as God sends something in my life, and I don't even have to figure out what it is, but I submit to it. I watched that happen with Sister Imogen. When it came down to her time to go, there was no question in my mind. It wasn't that God was going to have to hit a long line drive because she's been so far out of his will to be able to make heaven. It's going to be questionable. In my mind, it was as if the ball of her life was just in front of the last hoop. One tap, and she has made it into glory. And now we're left behind. What am I going to do with the troubles that come into my life? And I want you to realize something. I don't want this to be a negative message for anyone that desires healing today. Because I tell you, just as much as it teaches us to submit our will to the Lord, it teaches us that I have the privilege to come before Him and bring anything to Him and ask Him to take care of that problem. And every one of us can testify that He has done it so many times. I just want to add one more little thing to it. Keep in mind that heaven is out ahead. Eternity is on the horizon. No matter how young you are, eternity is on the horizon. Because if we compare a life of 80 years, and maybe Sister Imogen lived somewhere in that amount of time in her 80s, but you compare that to eternity, and it's just a dot, it's just a speck. And how often I spend my time wanting good things in my life while I'm here. Folks, what I want is for the Lord to put anything in my life, whatever will give me the best opportunity of making heaven. Amen. Lord, I would like for you to send it into my life. And then, Lord, help me to understand if it's something I should pray away or it's something that I should embrace as your will for my life. There are some clips of songs in our songbook of people who caught a glimpse of this. One of those is, "To thee my all resign. Oh, let thy will be mine. In thy great love divine, keep me, my Lord." Another one says, "Thy gracious will shall ever be the object of my heart." I want to tell you that will not come naturally. It's going to take an effort on my part for His will to always be the object of my heart. There's another one that says, "All my will is yielded to Him." Another one says, "Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Lord, I want your will to be my will. Forever I choose the good will of my God." That will take effort on our part every day to be able to recognize the things that God is sending in my life, to perfect those things that concern me, and that I embrace those things and ask God to help me with them. Another one says, "O make of me what thou wouldst have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. Just fashion me to thine own pleasure till thou shalt thine own image see." And then we start coming closer to eternity. And here's another one. "When I pass to that heavenly country and my soul with its glory doth thrill, this forever shall be my rejoicing that my heart said amen to thy will." So in closing, there's one more verse to song number 111. "Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me. And then safe to glory, he'll bring my soul." And I am so thankful that he cares that much about each of us. So this morning, if you have a desire before the Lord, I would like, if it's natural healing, if it's troubles in your life, I want you to not take this message in a negative way, that I can't come to the Lord with my request. No, it tells us to do it. It gives me the opportunity to tell him exactly how I would like for him to do it. But just close the prayer out with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. "Lord, I want your will to be done down here on earth, just like it was done in heaven. I desire your prayers."